So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mel Herbert here for your MRAP snack for July 2018. I was sitting here in Los Angeles in the Woodland Hills, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, and the outside temperature is 105 degrees Fahrenheit. That would be 40.5 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, the temperature is going to be 115 degrees Fahrenheit or 46 degrees Celsius. Our record here in Woodland Hills was a couple of years ago, 121 degrees or 49 degrees Celsius. And in Oman, I was just reading that on June 26th, they had the highest low temperature ever recorded. At about 3 a.m., it got down to 42.6 degrees, or 108.7 degrees Fahrenheit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we live in a warming planet. And we're told that this is going to get exponentially worse. And from a medical point of view, we expect in the next 40 years to see three times as many heat illness episodes as we do right now. So I thought, let's do a quick snack on heat stroke, the worst of the very poorly named heat illnesses. So remember, when you're talking about heat stroke, you're talking about the worst form. You're talking about the person with a really high temperature, usually a rectal temperature over 40, and some hard neurological finding, altered mental status, for example, ataxia, for example. And there are two types. There's exertional, and that's usually the young, healthy, fit person who is doing too much exercise on a hot day. And then there's the non-exertional classic heat stroke, and that is usually sort of like grandma can't afford money for the air conditioning, is in Chicago, and it's really humid, and it gets hot day after day after day, and basically she cooks. It's terrible. And often you will have tens, sometimes hundreds, and in some cases thousands of people come in with significant heat illness. And the big difference between exertional and non-exertional is the protoplasm of the person who's got it. So in the non-exertional, in the grandma form, in the classic form, they have really poor cardiovascular systems and it just gets overwhelmed and they can present as cardiovascular collapse. But the end point in all of these patients when they come in the bad form is that they get ARDS-like picture, they get SIRS, they get DIC, they get multi-organ failure, and the mortality is high. Obviously, if you're bad protoplasm to start with, it's higher than if you are pretty good protoplasm to begin with. Now, the diagnosis is usually obvious, but grandma can come in being altered without obvious cause, and you've just got to think about it, particularly during the summer months. And the key to these people is obviously cooling. Seriously fast, aggressive cooling. These people are literally cooking. You must cool them fast. Now, there is some debate here, and there is no good studies about what's the best way to do this. But in general, if you look at UpToDate, if you look at some recent review articles, it suggests that ice bath cooling, if you can do it, you know, you put them in water with ice, is good for exertional heat stroke. Now, most of us can't do that and monitor them in the emergency department, so it's not so good. But also remember this, that if you're an EMS, for example, it's suggested that this is one of the few times where you want to delay transport here in the US, is cool the patient down first. Cool them down. If you can do that at the field, cool them down rapidly on the field and then bring them in. And I guess it would be best to do both. Cool them down fast and get to the emergency department fast. Now, if they're non-exertional, if they're classic, if it's grandma, then there is a suggestion, and again, you can find a quote here in UpToDate, that maybe ice bath cooling in the classic form, in the grandma form, they may actually do worse, and so you just want to do evaporative things. There is also one study that suggests that maybe putting these sort of ice packs instead of sort of axilla and groin and around the neck, that it might actually be faster if you put these around the cheeks, around the palms and soles, and that might actually cool people down faster. But again, there's no good studies, but the idea is cool them down, little water, little air, flow over the top of that, get some evaporation going. You probably want to stop some shivering, and meperidine is the classic one, Demerol, here in the US. But actually, there's been a lot of different drugs that have used that probably work, like benzos and even ondansetron and other stuff. But try and stop the shivering, cool them down, evaporation, fast, 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 we're going fast, fast, fast. We're aiming to get that temperature down to about 39, then we can slow down, all right? But initially, if they're coming in at like 44 degrees, we want to get them to 39 as fast as we can. There's probably, we don't know for sure, but there is probably time is brain, time is ARDS, time is SIRS. If you can cool these people down fast, then they probably are going to do a lot better than if you cool them down slow. And their sodiums, for example, can be all over the place. Some of these super athletes who are overhydrated, that have been running a lot, but they've actually taken in more fluids than they actually need, they can be really hyponatremic when they're running and they come in hypothermic. Whereas grandma can be all over the place. Grandma can have a sodium 165 because this has been happening slowly over days. So if the patient looks like the tank is empty, fill up the tank and you can fill it up with normal saline. If they're hyponatremic, it'll work. If they're hypernatremic, it'll work. So the treatment is cooling, cooling, cooling. Lots of different methods. We can let the experts argue about it. But cool, cool, cool. Ice packs or tepid baths and evaporative cooling. And then you start supportive care. Treat seizures. Obviously, that would be bad. Tube them if you need to. But the key here, and the thing I really wanted to get to, particularly at this time of the year in North America, where it's, you know, we're going through these heat waves. The key thing here is prevention. Prevention. So stop running those kids around when it's boiling hot and stop dressing them up in lots of clothing and having them bash into each other at football practice when it's 105 degrees outside. Now, come on, for goodness sake, stop doing it. It's just not worth it. And for grandma, if you can't afford to cool the house and it's super hot, get yourself to the library. Get yourself to the mall. Get a good book. Just go hang out. It's not creepy. I'm telling you, do it. So prevention is key. I remember a patient I saw when I first came to the US, you know, nearly 30 years ago. It was a UCLA student that wanted to get fit, and he was running up and down this hill dressed in a sweater because he wanted to get a good sweat on, and it was about 100 degrees outside. And he came in, and at first he was just a little bit altered, but then quickly he got away from us even though we were cooling him, and he started seizing. He developed DIC, and he died in front of us within an hour. It was terrible. You never want to see that, a young, healthy person get this disorder. So for goodness sake, if you remember nothing about this snack, remember that. And if you're a parent on the sideline, and it's way too hot to be running that cross country or playing that football game, stand up and say something. Because the coaches and the people who are running these programs, they haven't seen what you've seen. It's terrible. Don't let it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name's Mel Herbert. This was a different kind of MRAP snack, but a reminder that heat stroke, it's bad. We don't want it. Rapid cooling, supportive care, and prevention. Prevention is key. And I hope you're enjoying all of the new content, the LLSA, the Crunch Time. In fact, I know you're enjoying it because you're all emailing me saying how much you like it. But if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. Go check out a little Crunch Time. It's pretty cool. And more stuff coming all the time, and crunchy cues coming very soon. We want to make this program like the best possible value that we can. So we're just stacking it with all the stuff that you need for your entire career and charging you nothing extra. I know, it's pretty amazing. Nothing extra. We are really trying to redefine what could be software as a service, education as a service, MRAP as a service, just everything you need in one place, easy to find from the people that you've been hanging out with, in many cases, for nearly 20 years. It's kind of crazy. So be safe, be well, and please keep cool. And now on a personal note, I wanted to give a shout out to my friend and mentor, Linus Dezoukas. 30 years ago, I graduated from Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. And in my second year out, I found myself working in the emergency department at the Alfred Hospital, which was the main teaching hospital for Monash University at the time. And the director there was Linus. Linus, like everybody back then, hadn't actually trained in emergency medicine. He was a nephrologist, but had been charged with running the emergency department, running the training program, and starting this whole new specialty of emergency medicine in Australia, which at the time was only just like 5 years old. Linus was an incredible physician. He was a fantastic mentor. You can imagine, as a second year, like an intern plus a few months, I was actually the most senior in charge overnight in the trauma center. I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. And I would call Linus in the middle of the night with some of the most ridiculous, inane, stupid questions. But he never made me feel bad. He was always supportive. They were crazy days in emergency medicine. But out of those days, Linus helped train and produce some of Australia's most famous emergency medicine physicians. Linus gets to retire, gets to put his feet up, enjoy some of that red wine. Linus, you did good. On behalf of many generations of emergency physicians, thanks for what you do, because it really did matter.